It's episode 461 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. Here today on the show, I'm going to talk about Adolis Garcia finally getting magic number 31, setting the Rangers rookie record for home runs in a single season, and simultaneously breaking the rookie record for Rangers rookies getting RBIs with number 90 on the season. That and so much more on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On to the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patter. Today is Friday, October 1st. The Rangers are 59-100, tied for the third pick, but since the tiebreaker scenario goes to who had the worst record last year, the Pirates right now would have the third overall pick. And, you know, it's kind of fitting and hilarious and stupid and maddening that the Rangers are tied with them, because that's the only team that had a worse record than them last year. So, of course, they're tied with them right now, sitting in the fourth pick. Honestly, as long as the Rangers get Chase Young, I will be okay. But we're going to talk about this weekend series. Adolis Garcia finally getting number 31 and more. But first, this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app, the Spotify Green Room app, and join me for Locked On Rangers listens. So, Adolis Garcia, it took him a while. It took him quite a while, but he finally got number 31. Finally, off of Alex Cobb, a two-run shot. And, you know, just kind of fitting that his home run went to the opposite field. He is a very strong opposite field hitter. He uses all fields when he is putting the ball in play. He does a good job of, you know, maintaining power to that opposite field. If I remember correctly, his first home run in the big league level against Tampa Bay was also to the opposite field. But it was a long time coming. He did very well to get there, finally. We only had two home runs in the month of September. Only two. He was sitting there waiting. He was at 29 going into the month. He got numbers 28 and 29 against Houston on August 28th and then on the 29th. So he really surged up there. He had, I believe, five, six home runs in the month of August. If my numbers are correct. That's about the pace that it took. But only two in this month. And, of course, one of them came off of Houston. September 14th was number 30 on the season. Then he waited all the way to the last day of September to get number 31 off of Alex Cobb, two-run shot. In a game, the Rangers ended up winning. I mean, it makes me a little mad because they lost draft position, but, you know, whatever. It's fine. It was a fun game. It is good to have, you know, one or two fun games. They're going to be three or four. It's not life-changing. Unless Chase Young is taken at three, then I'm going to be really upset about this one game and other random one-off games that I will find and cherry-pick later to get mad about. But right now, I'm not mad. Glenn Otto had, I want to say, his worst start of the season. It just was not great. He threw 41 pitches through the first inning and gave up five runs. And I can't believe they sent him out there for another shot. I honestly just cannot believe they sent him back out there. He ended up pitching in six games so far this season. Somehow wasn't saddled with the loss in this one because the Rangers didn't lose. Yeah, two innings, six hits, only one walk. So that's nice, but just hit after hit after hit. And they were not cheapies. They were hit well. Shohei Ohtani had a triple because that's just what Shohei Ohtani does. He's tied for the MLB lead with eight triples, I believe, at least as of him hitting that one because, you know, of course. But let's look at Glenn Otto's season as a whole. 23 and a third inning so far at the big league level. Eight walks, which, you know, fine. 28 strikeouts, that's good. A lot more strikeouts per than innings pitched. Only two home runs in 23 and a third innings. That is good. He has done well to limit the long ball. Granted, quite a few of those hits in a different park might have been home runs, but the Rangers park is very pitcher friendly. And yeah, these pitchers need some help. At least he does. But a 9.26 ERA on the season. Just not quite good enough. Not quite good enough. Opposing batters hit 320 off of him. A whip of 1.71. That is not what you're wanting. Grant talked a lot about Glenn Otto being probably a reliever down the line. And, you know, I kind of see it. The slider is nasty. The fastball is not quite good enough to be fastball slider, and his other stuff is just not quite there. I mean, I love the slider. It's very good. He's very poised. His first start was very fun against the Astros, but the overall body work, I mean, leads me to believe he's going to start next season in AAA. Still needs some more seasoning. Even had quite a bit of AAA seasoning this year, but it wasn't quite enough for him. So his season is done. Thank you for a couple of fun starts, Glenn Otto, and we'll see you in AAA next year. Derek Anderson came in, and this bullpen was the real hero of the day. Anderson came in, allowed just one run in three innings, just trying to get to the back end of the bullpen. Brett Martin comes in and allows just one hit and one walk in his one inning, but doesn't allow anybody to come across the plate. Spencer Patton works two nearly perfect innings, only gives up one hit, strikes out three in two scoreless innings, gets credited with the win. And Joe Barlow comes on to save the day, his 11th save of the season, and now has a 1.55 ERA. Again, this guy is insane. A perfect inning and did strike out a batter, which, you know, I've been asking him to do a little bit more of. It's a little bit selfish of me, but I just want to see him strike out a few more people. But man, he's still so stinking good. This is his 31st appearance of the season. He is 11 for 12 on save opportunities, has three holds as well. Just a really stinking good pitcher. Hitters are hitting just 124 against him, 27 strikeouts in 29 innings, so he's getting that number back up there. Only two home runs for him on the season, only five earned runs in 29 innings so far. You love to see it. You absolutely love to see it. A whip of 0.83, and yeah, this guy knows what he's doing, and he is doing well. Like I said, this guy is a huge success story for the Rangers this season. I don't think he's their best success story, but he's definitely up there. Definitely a top three success story. I think Adolis doing what he did, as much as I love what Taylor Hearn has done in the pen and now in the rotation, I think that's number two. But Adolis has got to be number one. Even with his second half drop off, he is still a huge, huge success for the Rangers. Joe Barlow is a huge success, and is going to be a really dominant reliever for this pen moving forward. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I feel really stinking good about almost every game that he's coming in. If he's got a save opportunity, I'm like, he's going to close it. Doesn't matter who it's against. He is not scared at the moment. He's not doing this just against teams that are terrible. He's doing this against good hitters as well. And he's making them look foolish. And that is what you want from your closer. You want a guy you can trust to go out there in the big moments and deliver. And that's what he's done so far at just 26 years old. You absolutely love to see it. You love to see it quite a bit. Maybe he just turned 27. I'm trying to do the math here. No. He just turned 26. Actually, just a few days ago. So happy belated birthday to Joseph Israel Barlow. Interesting middle name. That's cool. I don't think I've ever heard that someone having a middle name of Israel. But then again, I don't know a lot of people's middle name. So not trying to flex there. All right. We're going to look a little bit more into Adolis Garcia, what he did, just a general look at his Rookie of the Year campaign, and just a general look at what he's done for the Rangers this season and what he might do next year, coming up after this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar. I've been telling you about Built Bar for forever. If you've been a listener of this show for a while, or if you're a new listener, welcome in. This is a Built Bar show that occasionally talks about the Texas Rangers. It's the best tasting protein bar you will ever have. I just finished the box they sent me of cookie dough, and it was absolutely delicious. Not just straight cookie dough. It was cookie dough protein bars. Yeah, I know that sounds crazy. How can anyone do that? But they find a way to do it. They make them good for you and just healthy as well. And they're delicious. Like I said, they've got 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180 per bar. They've got all kinds of different flavors: mint brownie, raspberry, cherry barcia, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate, like just one of pretty much anything you like. Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. They're all flavors are amazing and they are all very tasty. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Now, Pete Incaviglia had the former Rangers rookie record with 30 home runs set back quite a while. I believe he's in, the 1990s. And then Mark Teixeira had the Rangers RBI record at 88, which Adolis Garcia was tied with both of those for quite a while. But with one swing of the bat, he went Oppo Taco, and he finally got himself home run number 30. I have loved what I've seen from this guy. He has played everywhere in the outfield. He played 9 games in left field, 79 in center field, 48 in right. He's been mostly in right field since the Rangers traded Joey Gallo, but he did a great job holding down the fort in center field. He's been taking great routes. He has got just monumental power. Absolutely monumental. He hits well against fastballs and breaking balls. Off-speed stuff like changeups and splitters are still giving him quite a bit of problems this year. And it's just he needs to get better about those. He needs to get better about his chase rate. But his average exit velocity is in the 81st percentile, max exit velocity 85th percentile. His hard hit percentage in the top quarter of the league, sprint speed 83rd percentile, outfielder jump 88th percentile, outs above average. So basically just a general catch-all metric for defense, 98th percentile, 98. That plays very well. It means he is one of the best hitters in baseball. He also barrels the ball in the 78th percentile. So when he is barreling up pitches quite a bit, but where he needs to work on his strikeout rates in the bottom 5% of the league, chase rate and walk percentage and whiff percentage all in the bottom 10% of the league. His expected slugging is in the 45th percentile, so about average. Expected batting average is also in the bottom 10% of the league. So he needs to get better about being more selective, not swinging so much. He was doing a great job of that early on. And I think pitchers got a little bit more careful of how they were pitching to him after that just tremendous first month of the season. Like, absolutely tremendous. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. He was ridiculous. One of the best players in baseball. Let's go back and look at the month of May where he was fantastic. In April, he was fine. Pretty solid, 797 OPS for that month. But man, the month of May in 28 games, he was absolutely bananas. 11 home runs in that month. 11 home runs. 5 stolen bases without getting caught. Hit 312 on base of 348. Slugged 633. That is a 981 OPS. He was on fire, making, you know, very clutch home runs, winning games for the Rangers, making diving plays, using that just absolute bazooka rocket cannon from another world of an arm to make incredible plays like he's done all season. Now, in the months following, things have not been quite as pretty for him. The month of June was really rough on him. He had a 660 OPS, only hit 216, on base of 274. The only month, actually, where he had an on base over 300 was the month of May. He had a 348 on base there. But not quite so much ever since that. In the month of September, it was really rough on him. He had a 564 OPS in 25 games. Like I said before, just 2 home runs. Not a whole lot going on for him in that month of September. Only 3 walks in that month. I'd like to see that be a little bit more. Did have 5 doubles, so that's nice, but that's also not above among his best months for doubles. He had 8 doubles and 6 home runs in the month of August. Looked a little bit like he was returning to form. Slugged 464 that month in the month of August. Last month, just 324. So he's got ups and downs. He's come back, and he's come back down to earth, and he's come back up, and then come back down to earth. A little more consistency out of him next year, I think, would be great and go a long way. But like I've said before, he's going to be the Rangers' everyday starting right fielder next year, unless they go and sign somebody, or even weirder scenario where they trade for somebody, which I really don't see. He's going to be their starting right fielder next year. I think that is a reasonable assumption. I think he has done enough to earn the job. And again, there's not really anybody in AAA that's just, you know, chomping at the bit, champing at the bit, whatever the actual phrasing of that is, that's, you know, right on his tail to go in and win that job from him. He has done enough to earn it, and we'll see what happens after that. There'll be some guys right on his tail, I think, going into 2023. They also might spend big on an outfielder then, and from that point on, we'll see what happens there. Also, shout out to DJ Peters, who had his 13th home run of the season in this win on Thursday afternoon against the Angels. The Rangers, by the way, in case I didn't say it at the top, the Rangers ended up winning 7-6, a well-earned win for the Rangers. DJ Peters has shown he's got something there. He's got a little bit of something there. Granted, the walks are still a big problem. That is what's going to keep this guy from being a regular in this league. For the last 7 games, he has not walked once. His last 30 games, he's walked twice, just twice. Granted, he does have 8 home runs in his last 30 games, and that's nice. But only 2 in his last 15, only 1 in his last 7, and that was that last game. So for the season, I'm going to combine his Dodgers numbers here because it's just easier. He's got 13 home runs on the season, 9 doubles, 1 triple, 80 strikeouts to 12 walks. That is a problem. And only 2 stolen bases. Granted, he hasn't been caught, but I'd like to see him be a little more aggressive on the base pass. An OPS of 684, playing some pretty solid defense. Not, you know, gold glove caliber, but really solid. Makes good reads. Made a really good read on a ball in that winning game on Thursday afternoon. But I just need to see this guy walk more. If he's gonna have a just terrible walk rate, he is a bench outfielder, and a bench outfielder at best. So the power is fun, the speed is there, but again, both these guys really need to walk more in order to, you know, kind of secure their position. Granted, DJ Peters is only 25. Adolis is only 28. I know he's an older rookie, but he's not an old rookie. He's still 28. He's still got some time in his prime to make a difference for these Rangers for another few years. But I'm going to take a quick break and come back, look a little bit at this weekend series, this final series of the year for the Rangers, and a little bit around baseball and what to watch for the Rangers as it concerns them heading into this final weekend of the season prior to this. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline. We are back and better than ever, and all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. This episode is also brought to you by GetUpside. Hey, Rangers fan, this is Bryce Patrick here with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called GetUpside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or on Google Play right now. Use promo code BASEBALL and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free. Use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first take. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon or other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app. Use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code BASEBALL. Now there's 3 more games for the Rangers this season. Just 3. And they are against the Cleveland Guardians. I'm just calling them the Guardians now. That's what they are. I mean, they're known as the Cleveland racially unacceptable name for the last 3 games of this season. And then they are changing next year. I don't know why they decided, oh yeah, this is bad. Even though we've acknowledged that it's not great, not a great look for them at the beginning of the year. And they knew what they're going to change their name to. I'm like, yeah, we're going to stick with this for 1 more season. I don't know, whatever. It's a moot point. The Rangers are playing them. The Cleveland baseball team has, nothing really to play for, except for they can be a .500 team if they sweep the Rangers. So there's that, but they are eliminated from playoff contention. They were not really competing for the White Sox, with the White Sox for the division. They weren't competing with, you know, the Mariners or Boston or the Blue Jays or the Yankees for a wild card spot, because that's what happens when you trade off some of your best players for no reason other than you're a really cheap owner and you don't want to pay your good players what they're worth. But I'm sure that won't happen again, right? It's not like they have another, you know, star on their team that's you know, going to be owed a lot of money. No, right? Wrong. There are two guys that are big stars on this team. Absolutely incredible players. One of them just won the Cy Young last year. And Jose Ramirez is a legitimate MVP candidate. He has been fantastic this year. A guy who I still don't understand how he steals so many bases. And he steals them so well at his size. Like, he's not like a chunky guy. He's a bigger dude. He's got a lot of power. He's got 36 home runs this year, 100 RBI, but 26 stolen bases and 3 times caught stealing. His walk rate is really good. He's got 71 walks, 86 strikeouts. His on-base is 355, slugging 542, and an OPS just 3 points south of 900. An OPS plus of 142, in case you're taking measurements of that at home. He's a guy who plays really good defense, does just everything well. And, you know, offensively, doesn't have a whole lot of help. The only help he really has is the Franimal, Franmil Reyes, the DH, acquired from, I believe, San Diego, was where he was beforehand. Guy who's 25 years old, just does not play the field. All he does is hit dingers. He's got 30 of those dingers this year, 18 doubles, 2 triples. 25-year-old is slugging 528, has an OPS of 853. So those are the two main guys that you really need to watch out for in this lineup. Bobby Bradley has been fine for them at first base, but hasn't played a whole lot. Miles Straw, who, if I remember correctly, is an A&M guy. A 26-year-old has been playing center field for them. Let me double check that real quick. School went to, that is a different guy who has been with them before. I'm a former Astro. Miles Straw is, by the way, went to St. John's River College. There's a different Aggie outfielder that I'm thinking of on this team, who I can't see right now. They also have Josh Naylor, who has really underperformed this year, only played in 69 games. He's on the 60-day IL. They also have a guy who the Rangers are not going to be seeing, thankfully, in Shane Bieber, who just won the AL Cy Young last year, has had some injury issues, just came back and had 2 starts in this month of September, started the game before this series, so the Rangers are not going to see him unless for some reason they want to pitch him on the final game of the season on super short rest. Right now they haven't announced their Sunday starter, but I believe it'll be either Zach Plesac or Cal Quantrill. Not exactly sure. Right now, here's how the pitching matchups stack up. On Friday, Eli Morgan versus Spencer Howard. That's going to be his last start of the season. Obviously, all these are the last starts of the season. I don't even know why I'm saying it at this point. Tristan McKenzie is a young guy who has some pretty good stuff. Real up and down kind of guy versus Jordan Lyles on Saturday. Then Dane Dunning is going for the Rangers in the Sunday game versus TBD. Like I said, they've got some really good pitchers over there. They do a really good job of developing these guys. I mean, Shane Bieber, a guy who won the Cy Young last year, was a former, I believe, was a fourth round pick in the 2016 draft. Wasn't a guy who was thought of like super duper highly either, but went to UC Santa Barbara, pitched fairly well in college, but nothing outstanding, and has been outstanding for them, a two-time All-Star, also an All-Star Game MVP. Had a ridiculous year last year, won a triple crown, had 122 strikeouts, a 163 ERA, and just 12 starts and 77 and a third innings last year. He finished top 5 in Cy Young voting, finished 4th in Cy Young voting in 2019, his first All-Star season, with a 3.28 ERA, 259 strikeouts, and 214 innings. This guy is a workhorse. And this is all they do. They just develop really good starting pitchers and really good young players out of seemingly nowhere. And, you know, then they trade them off once they actually start making some money. But still, thankfully, the Rangers aren't going to see them. That is their problem to deal with. And, you know, if that was my team and that was a problem, I think that would drive me insane. If the Rangers were actually able to develop these like Cy Young and MVP level players and then not pay them. I don't think that would be a problem with this team if they actually had them. They did that exact same thing with Joey Gallo, a MVP level player who they weren't willing to sign to an actual good extension. So they just traded him off for pieces that are at this point TBD. But Glenn Otto was one of those pieces, and he hasn't quite exactly lived up to the hype, and I think is a long reliever long term. So yeah, make of that what you will. It's fine. It's fine. At least, you know, at least the Rangers aren't them. I guess that's their point. But, you know, also the bad point, Rangers aren't them. So they don't have a Cy Young guy to trot out there every fifth day. And also a reliever, this really good reliever who's probably not going to get many votes for, Rookie of the Year. He might get some votes for, I don't want to say Cy Young. He's not going to get those. But whatever the reliever of the year, the role aides, I don't know what they call it, that a guy named Emmanuel Clase, you might have heard of, was the primary piece in the trade that landed the Rangers, a guy who pitched for one inning. I'm not even going to say his name. I'm just that angry at him. Not his fault. He didn't choose to get injured. But at the time I said, oh, no, this trade is going to be just fine for the Rangers. It's going to be just fine for the Rangers. It's going to be perfect. And they get when a guy who is, unless his arm falls off. It did. Corey Kluber's arm basically fell off and only pitched one inning for the Rangers. And Emmanuel Clase has been absolutely fantastic for this team. He's a guy who, in case you don't know, throws basically 102 mile an hour cutter. Yeah, 102 miles an hour, and it cuts. I don't know if it's technically a cutter, but it's a four-seamer with some cut. So I'm calling that nonsense a cutter. Got 24 saves on the season. 131 ERA, an ERA plus. Remember, 100 is average for ERA plus. 334. Only two home runs given up in just under one out away from 69 innings on the season, which would be pretty nice if he finishes with 69 innings. 73 strikeouts, so just, 0.3 walks per nine innings, 6.7 hits per nine innings, a whip under one, 2.1 walks per nine innings, and 9.6 strikeouts per nine innings. So it's fine. It's fine. I'm not mad. I'm a little mad. It's fine. He also got busted for PEDs and did not pitch in the 2020 season. Because of that, he was suspended, I believe, 50 games and did not pitch that season at all. But he's back, and hopefully he got off the PEDs. Wish him nothing but the best. Totally fine. Totally love that trade, how it worked out. Totally fine. Definitely over it. It'll be fine. I'm fine. Can you tell how fine I am? Yeah, I'm fine. But one last weekend of baseball to go for the regular season. Some interesting matchups. Just keep an eye on that AL wildcard chase in case you haven't been keeping up. Tampa Bay has just straight up clinched the division. Also, the Astros finally clinched the West. Took them a while, and they might be eliminated in the playoffs because they're playing terrible baseball right now. In the Central, of course, the White Sox are going to be there. And the White Sox are going to have home field advantage because the Astros are just kind of tripped their way across the finish line. But right now, it's a three-team race for that second wild card between the Toronto Blue Jays, between the Boston Red Sox, and between the Seattle Mariners, who have come on and just been absolutely incredible. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games. Yeah, 9-1. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. The Blue Jays face the Orioles this weekend. The Red Sox face the Nationals. So both of them are facing two teams that are out of it. Right now, the Blue Jays are a game behind. And Boston and Seattle are tied for the second wild card. I believe there will be a play-in game to get into that one game play-in game if the teams are tied. And the head-to-head record, I believe, will be what determines who is hosting that one game play-in game. So technically, there is a scenario where Toronto and Boston and Seattle are all tied for that second wild card. That's where things get messy. We were almost gifted a scenario where they could have a four-way tie with Oakland being in the mix there, but Oakland kind of fell off a cliff as well. There's going to be a lot of teams with 90 wins. Oakland is now officially eliminated. So it's literally just between Boston, Seattle, and Toronto. Going to be a lot of fun to watch them this weekend. Going to be interesting to see if the Dodgers can end up winning the division. They're two games behind San Francisco in their own division. They're assured the first wild card. The Cardinals are going to be in the playoffs to just the one game playing against the Dodgers. Hopefully that Cardinal Devil Magic can expire because, I don't need them to have any more Devil Magic. Really interesting series. Late night if you're up. Dodgers versus the Brewers. Angels are playing against the Mariners. So, they're going to need that. And the Padres are playing against the Giants. So, lots of fun baseball this weekend. Of course, I'm going to be watching the Rangers and the Cleveland baseball team. The Reds are playing the Pirates. So, go Pirates. Please win. Please ruin your draft position because I need Jace Young on the Texas Rangers in the very, very near future. that's going to do it for this week's editions of Locked On Rangers. I'll be back next week. A lot of season recap content coming. A lot of, you know, playoff baseball, what the Rangers' ties to it are, because I'll be watching a lot of playoff baseball. I go from watching the Rangers to watching good baseball, and so could you. It's going to be very exciting. But enjoy this weekend. Thank you for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. Really appreciate y'all all sticking with me. Like I said on yesterday's episode, friendships and bonds are formed through the crucible of watching losing baseball. We have all watched quite a bit of that this season. So I appreciate you sticking with me, you know, enjoying and enduring the pain and, you know, celebrating those successes like Adolis Garcia, like Joe Barlow, and like Taylor Hearn as well. Thank you so much. Enjoy this last weekend of baseball. I'm Bryce Patrick. That's going to do it for this edition.